Today's Bible lesson is entitled Abundant Joy. Abundant Joy. And we're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. The words of God say this: Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Christians, above all, should demonstrate the abundant joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We should have the abundant joy of Jesus Christ radiating through our minds, hearts, and voices, so that this poor, old, tattered world with its lost people, as well as other Christians, will be encouraged that Jesus Christ is the source of all real joy on this side of eternity. The world has tried incessantly in every way that I can to infiltrate our joy with entertainment. Some young people grow up never realizing the abundant joy that is available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of and apart from entertainment. Christians are the only people who can have joy in times of persecution, reproach, affliction, and sacrifice, because we have something the rest of the world doesn't have. We have Jesus. So, how do we tap into this joy? Well, first of all, by being saved. By being saved. You see, joy comes from our salvation. In Romans chapter 5, in verses 10 and 11, the words of God say this: For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Amen. There is no joy this side of eternity that can equal the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ has saved you from sin and hell. In 3 decades of preaching the gospel to sinners, I haven't lost the joy of seeing a new soul come to Christ. And the joy you experience when you get saved is greater than all earthly pleasures. Amen. So how do we tap into this joy? First of all, by being saved. Next, how do we tap into this joy? By being filled with the Spirit. You see, joy comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, verse 52, the words of God tell us this: And the disciples were filled with joy, here it is, and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And with the Holy Ghost. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Your joy is not dependent on other people or things of the world, but only on your faith in Jesus Christ. Empty yourself of all things that inhibit the Holy Spirit from filling you, and yield to His presence and leadership in your life. Amen. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, in verse 22, we have listed the fruit of the Spirit. And we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Then notice joy. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So we need to empty ourselves of all the things that are keeping us from the Holy Spirit filling us and yielding to His presence and leadership in our lives. So how do we tap into this abundant joy? By being saved, by being filled with the Spirit, and by being united with believers. You see, joy comes from being one with the like-minded brethren. In John chapter 17, in verses 11 through 13, let's listen to what Jesus prayed. As He's praying to the Father, He says, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy filled in themselves. So we see that Jesus prayed that we would be one with each other and that we should love each other. Notice what Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. The words of God say this: for fill ye My joy, that ye are like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Paul certainly had the joy that the Philippians were like-minded, having the same love and of one accord. You see, my dear listeners, there is great joy in knowing that you can have fellowship with other Christians in any city in the world where there is a church that believes the Bible. Again, we're talking about abundant joy. We're trying to see how you and I can tap into that abundant joy. So far, we've seen by being saved, by being filled with the Spirit, by being united with believers, and by being assured of your salvation. In the book of Jude, verse 24, Jude 24, the words of God say this: now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You see, joy comes from knowing that you cannot lose your salvation, and that you will be perfect and faultless before the Lord when he comes. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which covers your sin, you will be able to stand perfect before the Lord. Amen. So we're looking at, discussing how you and I can tap in to that abundant joy that we're promised. We've seen so far by being saved, by being filled with the Spirit, by being united with believers, by being assured of your salvation, and then finally, by loving and obeying the Lord. Joy comes from the love of Jesus and the Father and from doing what they say. Look with me, if you would, in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 9, the words of God say this, "And the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love." When you get in a right relationship with God, you will have abundant joy in the love that comes from that right relationship. So again, we see that we can have abundant joy, and we should have abundant joy of Jesus Christ as believers that others can see. Amen. And we saw how we can tap in as believers into that abundant joy. First of all, one, by being saved. Two, by being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Three, by being united with believers. Four, by being assured of your salvation. And five, by loving and obeying the Lord. My dear listener, do you have that abundant joy? Why not? Why not? Why don't you have that abundant joy? You can have it. Amen. The Word of God says we can have it. Amen. But we need to do and tap into it at the five things that we looked at in our lesson. Now, we're going to move now and look at abundant grace. Abundant grace. And see what the Word of God has to say about abundant grace. Amen. Now, Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Amen. You see, that is abundant grace. Now, we saw that Jesus promised us abundant life in John chapter 10, verse 10. And part of that abundant life is abundant grace. We just saw that abundant joy is also part of this abundant life. And now we're going to look at the abundant grace that accompanies our abundant life. Now, first of all, the Lord has given us abundant grace to, first of all, cover our sin. Amen? To cover our sin. Let's look at some verses of Scripture here. Again, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, the Word of God says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we are told clearly, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, before we were saved, we abounded in sin, even though we didn't realize how wicked and abundant our sins were. But when we came to Christ, we found in him more grace than the sin we found in ourselves. The more we recognize the depth of our sin, amen, the depth of our sin, notice what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to feed sinners, to heal sinners." No, to save sinners, the Apostle Paul said, "of whom I am chief." Paul said, "I am a chief sinner, but Jesus came into this world to save sinners like me." You see, the more abundant grace of God is to cover our sin. So we see the Lord has given us abundant grace to cover our sins, number one, and number two, to meet our need. To meet our need. Notice with me, we read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 8, the words of God say this, "And God is able to make all grace abound," there's that abundant grace, "toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." He has given us abundant grace that we need so we can do every good work in his name to bring honor and glory to our Father in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, we read this, "Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." See, grace of God, the abundant grace, was given to the church there in Macedonia so they could go through that great trial of affliction. Because they had the abundant grace, they could have abundance of joy, even though they were poor and they were going through a great trial of affliction. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You see, we are like a conduit when it comes to giving to God. As we give from what we have, God gives to us, so that in all things we always have all sufficiency to abound to every good work. Solomon said this in Proverbs 13, verse 7. there is that maketh himself poor, yet have great riches. There is that that maketh himself poor, yet has great riches. You see, my dear listeners, abundant grace. Yes, abundant grace supplies every need. The greater the need, the more abundant the grace. God promises to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus was given to a giving church. You see, because they gave, let's go back and look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 19. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So Paul is saying, here the church of Macedonia were the only ones, when he started his ministry, to communicate with him, not only talk with him, write letters or whatever, but to give him, support him financially. No one else did. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. They provided. When he was in Thessalonica, not only did they meet his needs, physical needs, once, but again. He says, not because I desire a gift. Amen. He's saying, you didn't give to me because I wanted it, I needed it, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. See, he desired, not because he needed it, but he knew if they gave to support him in the ministry of the gospel, that they would receive as well. Amen. Not only on this earth, but lay up eternal treasures in heaven. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because this church in Macedonia provided and supported Paul's ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Paul tells him, because you were a giving church, then God's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if you're a giving person to support the ministry of the gospel, amen, or ministries of the gospel, God promises, because you're supplying the needs of others, he's going to supply your need. Amen. That's what that's based on. So we want to see here, the Lord has given us abundant grace to cover our sins, meet our need, fulfill God's will. To fulfill God's will. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly, that they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, we read this. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10 says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Paul was equipped by the abundant grace of God to do the work of an apostle. He labored more abundantly than others because of the abundance of God's grace. Likewise, we are given the grace of God for the work he wants us to do in the body of Christ, especially in our weakness, as we read when Paul had this thorn in the flesh and he asked God 3 times to take it away, and God said no. So we see, especially in our weakness, we are strengthened by God, by the grace of God. Just as in Paul's weakness, God said, I will give you the sufficient grace so you can do my will, even in your weakness. You see, the weaker we are in ourselves, the stronger we are in his grace. Amen. So we see that the Lord has given us abundant grace to cover our sins, meet our needs, fulfill God's will in our lives, and strengthen our church. Strengthen our church. In Acts chapter 11, verses 22 to 23, then the tidings of these things came under the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Then in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. When Barnabas went to Antioch from Jerusalem, he could see the grace of God in the church. God's grace is not visible, yet the work of his grace was visible in the church. They were doing things that they could have only done through God's power. You see, my dear listeners, God's grace strengthens our church against her enemies and for the work God wants us to do. The greater the need, the greater the grace to meet that need. The Lord has given us abundant grace to cover our sin, meet our needs, fulfill God's will in our life, strengthen our church, and then finally, glorify God. Glorify God. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. We read this, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, we read this. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The work of God's grace among us redounds to the glory of God through the multiple thanksgiving of many. The more we rely on the grace of God, you see, the more grace he gives. The more grace he gives, the more God is thanked for his grace. The more he is thanked, the more glory he receives. God is to be glorified in the church, is he not? Now, you can see what's going on here with the grace of God. His grace is greater than our sin, our need, our work, our weakness. We must become more reliant on the abundant grace of God than our own strength and supply. As Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong.